Thanks everyone for joining. Today we have a couple of exciting new things to announce. Basically, chatting with Hal, our in-house sun photography expert, and then we have Yun and Espresso to speak about their masterpiece that they just put together. And of course, we have two exciting contests to announce later in the show. So let me just kick things off by our regular introduction for all those new listeners who have just come onto our space. We are the Angels Wing, founded by friends who have met through the beloved Meta Angels project. If you haven't had the chance to, please do check out this really beautiful art PFP project. You can search them easily from Twitter or our Discord. We came together driven by a common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market. So obviously the logic behind this was a cross-pollination of viewers, and we showcased the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery. And that has helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors rather effectively through sales. And I'm glad to say we have organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors. But most importantly, friends, with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats, and Spotify, YouTube, you can catch us on any of these platforms quite easily. And the easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link tree and our bio, so do hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly NFT community. So that's a short summary of our project, and let's kick things off. Hal has sold out her very first NFT collection. She is a sun solar photography expert / enthusiast. I am lost for words, kind of, because I don't really know how to describe her expertise. So maybe it's time for her to take the stage to kind of introduce her collection. It's a really beautiful collection of solar images, I would say. I'm not even sure I can call it photography because you're not really taking it with like a normal camera. So enough of me, I bring on Hal. Would you mind just giving us a very brief introduction of actually how you got started being inspired to get so close to the sun, if I can say that, and then how it led you on to developing your passion for these sun related solar images? Hal?
Hi everyone, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you great.
Okay, great. So how did I get into solar photography? I guess the first time for me was in 1999, and in the UK there was a total solar eclipse, and I was already really interested in astronomy, and I really wanted to observe this solar eclipse, and you could only see the total eclipse from the very southern tip of the country in Cornwall, which is not where we lived, and we weren't able to travel to it. So from where I lived, you could see a partial eclipse. And what I did, so I was a teenager at the time, and what I did was I made myself a pinhole projector to observe it. So made a pinhole on a piece of cardboard, used that to project an image of the sun onto a piece of paper, and then I sketched the result. And I loved doing that. It was, you know, really low tech, but really cool. I got a real kick out of seeing the kind of the moon go across the face of the sun. And that was it from there, really. And since then, I've done lots and lots of visual observation of the sun, so using various filters at various times, and a little bit of photography over the years, usually when something special is happening. So if there's a planetary transit or something like that, I'll want to try and photograph it. And then I think the end of last year, I decided to sort of upgrade my kit a little bit, get a better camera, get something that's more dedicated to this kind of work rather than trying to sort of piggyback a normal SLR camera on the back, which is what I'd done prior to that. So I got the stuff at the end of last year, and then I procrastinated a bit about it, didn't really do very much for a while. And then in the spring, I started to get to know the equipment and learn how to use it, and that's it really. From there, I started posting a few pictures on Twitter that people seemed to like. People kept asking me when I was going to do an NFT for them, and I hadn't really originally intended to do that, but I decided to give it a go, and that collection came out on Thursday. Which is called Visions of a Local Star, Visions of Our Local Star. And the images that I've released so far, there's 8 of them, and they're all taken with a narrowband filter. So the filter is called a hydrogen alpha filter. And what it does is it lets you see the chromosphere, which is the lower part of the atmosphere of the sun. And the reason it lets you do that is because it only allows a really, really narrow amount of wavelength through, which shows you light from excited hydrogen, which is where all the interesting stuff is happening. And that's why you get to see all that interesting prominences, filaments, sunspots, and all those active areas on the sun. If you use a white light filter, which is essentially just reducing the intensity so that it's safe to look at, you don't see quite so much. You would see sunspots, and you might see that the surface looks a little bit kind of granularly, but that's it. You wouldn't see things like prominences. You need the special filter to be able to do that.
That's a really amazing share, Al. Obviously, a lot of time was condensed into that really short few minutes you described your journey, but through the very educated descriptive words that you use, obviously you have more than just a passion, right? Do you have any sort of educational, how should I put it, professional knowledge of our solar system that helped drive that passion?
Yes, I do. So I first became interested in astronomy when I was really, really small, and that passion followed me through all of my schooling. And when I went to university, I did my degree in astrophysics. So I did a little bit of telescopic work as part of my degree. I did my final year project was about optics, telescope optics. So I spent a bit of time researching optics and developing techniques to test optics to see how well they were performing. So I did some telescopic stuff in my degree, although it was mostly theoretical apart from the final year project. And I chose that because I was so interested in telescopes. So yes, I have a little bit of educational background in astrophysics.
I like how you're so humble about your credentials, but we'll take it. We'll take it. Yes, because I can imagine it takes quite a bit to jump from a passion that you had as a teenager and then being able to safely observe the sun, right? Obviously, it's common knowledge that it's dangerous to observe the sun with the naked eye, and even if you use regular photography equipment, it could easily damage it if you're not careful. So I don't know, obviously it would take quite a bit to reach what you have. I mean, before we get into the details of the art, about maybe talk a little bit about if we were a newbie to the scene and if you wanted to even get really basic images of the sun or the stars, let's say, to start things simple, what tips would you give a beginner trying to set up or get his feet wet, his or her feet wet into getting some of these solar or images of the stars?
So the first thing to say, I guess, is that you do have to be careful. So I almost put a disclaimer or kind of warning on my NFT collection, and my husband was like, you don't need to do that. But I was worried about people going outside and sort of melting their cameras and things like that. But yes, if you want to do the stars, it's very different from doing the sun, because the thing with the sun is the intensity is huge, and you need to reduce it by well over 99% for it to be safe. So it's really important that you understand how to do it safely. And I'm happy to have DMs about that if anybody wants to DM me. If you were starting, the easiest way to start would be to use something called Astro Solar Film, which is, it looks a little bit like tinfoil. It's not tinfoil, don't use tinfoil, but it looks like tinfoil, and you can cut it to size and make yourself a solar filter with it. And what that does is it reduces the intensity safely so that you can look at the sun and have a look for things like sunspots. And you can use it to make covers for binoculars, for example, if you've got binoculars at home, or you can make a cover for a telescope, just a normal telescope. So that's how I started, like making these kind of Heath Robinson homemade solar filters. I did that for quite a while before I started to get the more expensive stuff. You can do that very cheaply, and then if you get the bug, then the kind of the price goes up quite quickly if you want to start using narrowband filters and things like that. The other thing you can do is make a projector, like I was talking about, that I did when I was younger. You can do a better job than I did then and make a bit of a decent projector, and then you can photograph the image that you get on the paper just with a normal camera. And there's loads of instructions on how to do that online, and that's really safe because you're not looking directly at it. So it's a good one to do with children and things like that.
Very, very interesting. I wonder if I could set something up myself. It's really hot here now in Hong Kong, and I need to do something productive in these hot weather times, you know. But okay, enough about the tools, the physical tools, right? So pinned on our space right now is a tweet that kind of links to Hal's entire collection, which is gorgeous. And I actually personally collected one of the pieces. And Hal, could you just help us walk through the kind of steps you needed to take to produce these images, kind of like from a post-production point of view? I know capturing the image was just so-called the easy part, right? After that, you had to go through quite a multitude of steps to do post-production kind of image processing and choosing what kind of background to use. Could you speak a little bit about that?
When you capture the image, the way that I capture the images is I use a fast frame rate video camera. And what you end up with is a little video of maybe a minute, consisting of, you know, about 500 frames, something like that. And when you look at the video, it looks a little bit like you're looking through, like looking at something that's underwater, because you've got all this atmosphere in the way and it's moving around and the sun appears to go in and out of focus. It's not very contrasty. And the thing that's great about doing that is you can then extract the good frames from the video. So you can discard all the ones where it doesn't look very focused or there's a bird flying across or whatever. And get rid of all those and then stack the others. So you kind of stack them on top of each other to make one image. And there's software to do that. The one I use is called Auto Stacker. And then once you've done that, you can then do the kinds of things that you might expect to improve a photograph. So do some sharpening, add some contrast, add some color, because it's a narrowband filter. So it's a single color. So when you add the color, you're choosing the color based on what will enhance the features you want to see and what will look nice. So it's they're all false color images. When you look through the telescope, it appears very red, redder than the images that I have online. And the reason that I haven't colored them super red is because you tend to lose some of the kind of intricate detail if you do it too red. So most solar photographers don't color them as red as they actually appear, because the hydrogen alpha line that I'm photographing is in the red part of the visible spectrum. So.
Most of this software that you speak of are publicly available, or it's something that you have to pay? It's paid software.
All the software I use is free except for Photoshop, and there are free things you can use instead of Photoshop, so you don't have to pay for any of it. So AutoStack is free. Then I use something called Registax, which is also free. And there's one called IMPPG, which is quite good for, it has a little app in it called Wavelets, which is quite good for sharpening. And then Photoshop. And the reason I use Photoshop is because we already have a subscription to that. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't use Photoshop. So you can do it all for free.
I mean, the reason I ask is because, leading back to my question of if you were just a beginner enthusiast, obviously you won't be able to get the kind of results you're having right now, but it'd be kind of interesting if with whatever you have right now publicly available, you could produce something close or remotely close to what you have. That'd be pretty amazing. But okay, like I've said, enough about the tools. I know you've spoken long enough about the process behind it, but what are some of the favorite features that you love about the sun so much? I know you talk about some of the sunspots, some of the flares. I hope I'm not using some of this terminology incorrectly. Could you speak a little bit about those, your favorite bits about the sun that you've featured in some of these gorgeous pieces?
So I think my three favorite parts of the image are the prominences, which is when you look around the outside of the sun, around the edge, you can see these, they look like flames kind of flicking off into space. So that's the prominences. I love those and I love imaging them. It can be a little bit difficult to image those because you the technique you need to use is a little bit different to imaging the rest of the surface, but it's, I get a real kick out of capturing those.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. You mean they don't appear on the images that you capture?
They
do. How is that different from?
They're faint, so you need a higher exposure. And what I tend to do is kind of balance the exposure where the prominences are a little bit underexposed and the disk is a little bit overexposed, and then I sort it out in post-production. The other thing you can do is image the prominences completely separately and then stitch your image together, and I do that sometimes as well, but I tend to find that I prefer the result if I do it all together at once.
Ah, I see. I mean, to me personally, I love these what do you call them again? Flares?
Prominences. Flares is something slightly different.
Okay, prominences, because it kind of shows almost like the burning effect of the sun. Yeah. Sorry to have interrupted you, but the other parts of the images that you love?
So I like the filaments, which are, if you're in a kind of a upright image, an image that's not inverted, the filaments look like black lines, like snaky lines across the surface. And they're actually the prominences as they appear against the surface. So they're the same thing as the prominences, but just they appear dark because they're against the really bright surface of the sun. And if you invert the image, I think it shows them better. So some of my images are inverted for that, and the filaments, they look kind of furry almost against the surface of the sun. So I love those. Like, I love the three-dimensional aspect that you get from the filaments when they're, you get a big, nice big filament on the surface, and it looks, you can see that it's three-dimensional. And the sunspots, they're great. I think the sunspots are the thing that people are most likely to have already heard of, and are quite recognizable, and they have this sort of really dark inky black center and then a less dark it's called the penumbra around the outside, and that happens because of magnetic field. It all happens because of magnetic fields, actually. So magnetic field activity causes all this stuff to happen on the sun. And they're really dynamic, and you can track the sunspots. You can draw them out and then track them as they move across the surface. And you can track the cycle of the sunspots if you want to. They occur on an 11-year cycle. So there's loads of interesting science you can do, as well as just imaging, if you're interested in doing that.
Yeah, this is all extremely intriguing to me. I mean, it's really the confluence of artistic talent together with science that's brought us to this level of imagery, right? So, I guess I'll open it up to the floor if there's anyone who would love to ask Hal any quick questions about her collection.
Yeah, so I do have a question. So, by the way, I really love this collection and the variety of all of these images. And I was lucky to collect the close-up one, which is amazing with lots of details. So
yeah, we love the stealth drop, Hal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I was not expecting it to. I didn't expect selling out to be an issue, and I'm very, very grateful that it has been an issue, but I'll be more careful to drop it not in the middle of the night for people next time.
I know many will appreciate that. So, and my question is in that area. So what other things do you have kind of on the horizon to make in the same style, but different? I'm curious, kind of, what are the possibilities?
So I've got a couple of ideas that I've been working on. One is I would like to be able to show how dynamic it all is. So I'd like to do some animations. And I did try to do one for this drop, and it was just horrible. So I need to work on the technique a little bit and make it a little bit nicer. But if I'm thinking of sort of maybe a 10-second animation that shows a few hours, a couple of hours of activity, and you'll really be able to see how those prominences move. They sort of, the plasma gets splurted out into space, and then it falls back down to the surface in these lovely loops. And I'd like to be able to show that. So animations is one thing. Another thing I'd like to try and do is capture the International Space Station transiting the sun. And there's one in August that is visible from where I live. So I'm really hoping for not clouds on that day. And I'm going to see if I can do it. It'll take about a second or so to transit the sun. So I've got to be right there at the right time. And we'll see if I can get anything from that.
Oh, that sounds really exciting. So a whole second to catch it.
Yeah. It's not so bad when you're doing it with a video camera, though, right? Because you can just start it, you know, few seconds before.
That's good. Yeah, but this sounds amazing, and also animations, and really looking forward to see how this outputs will be.
Thanks very much, Hal. I know you really only wanted to speak for a few minutes, but it's just really amazing what you have done, and I think we could just go on and on about all the different aspects of your collection and all the different possibilities, like Espresso mentioned. Oh, wait, Yoon has a question. Hang on.
Hey, Hal.
Yoon, go ahead.
It's so great to hear you talk a bit about your passion finally on space. I think what is really, really interesting about Hal is that she's, as we heard, she's a space nerd. And her name, Hal, and both 42 Ordinary Mice, they have some really interesting stories behind them. I was wondering whether you want to share them quickly, because I find them very interesting.
Sure. So HAL comes from HAL 9000, which is the artificial intelligence in the story 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I thought that it would be a cool name for Web3, since it's the new frontier of technology. And also, I like the character of HAL because I feel that HAL 9000, the robot character, is a bit misunderstood. They're a character that's thought to be evil, but actually is just trying to do the right thing and is confused because there's so much conflicting information that's been given to them. And I don't know, I can identify with that, I think. So that's why I chose HAL 9000. 42 Ordinary Mice, I was thinking about what I could have as a Twitter handle, because I couldn't have HAL because somebody had already taken that. So I thought about other literature that I like, and it comes from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there's another computer that is searching for the ultimate question of the universe, and it knows that the answer to the question is 42, but it doesn't know what the question is. So 42 comes from that. And then the ordinary mice is because the most intelligent creatures in the universe, in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, are actually ordinary white mice. So 42 ordinary mice came from that.
So I think at Espresso, I think we should have made 42 stars actually in our piece, because as we just heard, 42 is the answer to everything.
Yes, that will be the next one, right?
Yes.
And we also had a question from Silvo.
Hi, Hal. So, excuse me, early over here. So nice to hear your voice. I just wanted to relay some questions from the Angel's Wing Discord, the general chat. Shrimp was asking, and I was also curious, when you plan to do more solar drops.
I guess it depends a little bit on the weather over here, because I definitely don't want to use the footage that I've already got. I feel like I've extracted as much as I can from that, and also I'm about to do a little upgrade which will give me some more resolution, so I really want to have the upgraded stuff be in my next drop. So hopefully in a few weeks. I was hoping to observe today, but the weather here is very, very cloudy, so no observations today. You need a reasonably clear sky, but the other thing that you don't really want is you don't want it to be too hot, because which isn't usually a problem over here, but it has been hot lately, because if it's very hot, then you get loads and loads of air currents, and that thing of it being like looking underwater gets so much worse, and then just the imaging that you get isn't very good. So hopefully in a few weeks, maybe a bit less than a few weeks time, and I will give everybody plenty of notice this time.
Amazing. Yes, the Californians are eager to collect, but yes, no pressure. Sorry, I realized that question was a bit presumptuous, and just like, but we're excited. And my second question was, can your equipment be used to take photos of other elements in the sky, like the moon or anything like that?
Yes, it can. My solar telescope is a modular one, and what you can do, you can take out the solar filter and use it for nighttime observations. I've never done that. I've never bothered to do it, because I have quite a few telescopes, so I've got other ones that I would use for that. So it depends is the answer. If you buy a dedicated solar telescope that doesn't have a removable filter, then you can only use it for the sun. If you buy a more sort of standard telescope with a removable solar filter, then you can just remove the filter and use it for everything else as well if you want to.
Amazing. Cool. Yeah, because my special interest in the moon, I was thinking it'd be cool if you had like another collection that was of that celestial body. But yeah, thank you for answering my question.
No worries. I am thinking of doing some, I don't just observe the sun, I do other stuff as well, but just lately the sun's been a bit of an obsession, but maybe when I've got it out of my system, I'll do some other stuff.
No, keep it coming. Yeah, keep it coming. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Hal. Thanks also, Sylvie, for the questions. If there's no one else, congrats again, Hal, for the sold out collection. I think you've heard enough from the audience and our friends here that your pieces are very much in demand. So no pressure, but keep them coming.
Thanks so much.
Okay, now moving on to our next speakers on the space, speaking about their masterpiece, their collab masterpiece, Yoon and Espresso. A really beautiful whimsical looking work on a lady with a cat with a magical star maker. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Instead of me introducing the piece, maybe Yun, you can start first by kind of giving us a little bit of background as to how the piece started and giving a much better explanation than me about the origins and how you experience working with Espresso for Collab.
Yeah, so thank you for your lovely introduction. So my collab piece with Espresso, titled How Stories Are Made, is the third story in my collection, Ein Geheimer Ort, which means a secret place in German. And if you wonder why I chose a German title for the collection, it's because I grew up in Germany. So in general, the stories in Ein Geheimer Ort, they center around my fascination with space and philosophy. So it's actually kind of fun that like three people, me, Espresso, and Hall, three space nerds are kind of united in this episode by coincidence. I've been really fascinated with space since my early childhood and later on also with philosophy. And my two main protagonists in my collection are the six-year-old Lulu and her cat, Caroline. I do actually identify myself with the Lulu character a bit. And the name refers actually to a childhood friend of mine. And the name of the cat, Caroline, refers to Leo Tolstoy's novel Anna Karenina. But I actually came up with this name not because of that novel, but because of another novel that I really love, which is Unbearable Lightness of Being by the Czech author Milan Kundera. And Caroline was the name of a dog that appeared in the story. And I think this is just probably one of the best novels that's been written in the 20th century. So if you want to check it out, yeah, it's really a great book. So coming back to my color piece with Espresso, the backstory was kind of like this. So the scene of my first story is a blue marble, which is owned actually by Hall. And thank you so much, Hall, for collecting it. It was actually a very unexpected stealth drop by myself too. So I actually listed it during the night, and I wanted to tweet about it the next day, but Hall already collected it. So yeah, it was kind of a similar experience, like with First Sun collection, that I didn't really notice the drop and it already sold out kind of. So the scene of the blue marble is set into space with Lulu and Caroline sitting on a small planet. And they look at the stars and they wonder about their origin and where we actually come from. And these are some fundamental philosophical questions, I think. And for the follow-up story, I wanted to refer to this idea that most elements of the periodic system that make up the Earth and everything on Earth, including us humans, have been created actually in supernovas or star explosions. And so the story in Blue Marble ends with Lulu suggesting to visit the star maker to learn more about their origin. Espresso has these three beautiful collections called Exploding Stars, Volume 1 and 2, and also Blooming Stars, which is his latest collection. I was wondering whether anyone can pin this to the space so people can see it. So I met Espresso very early on my NFT journey last year, and we connected on so many levels since then. I couldn't think of anyone who has supported me so much as him. So I wanted to create like a follow-up story that was dedicated to him. And then I can remember that he posted one of his stories on Twitter one day, and I thought, hey, why not invite him to collab on that piece that is actually dedicated to him? So that was kind of the backstory so we we've basically just started out thinking about the scene, and I think totally, probably went back and forth and created like 20 versions or something like that. And I remember that the initial version, so I basically drew a sketch, and the initial version of Star Maker was actually a mail, because it was referring to Espresso, of course. But then later on, thinking about more about the scene and composition and colors, then I decided to turn it into a female. This is how kind of like the story behind the figure of the Star Maker. The character, another black cat. his name is Snox. That's the cat of the Star Maker. So Espresso, he actually has a black cat. And I came up with the name of Snox because there's this character called Alberto Knox in the novel by the Norwegian writer Jostein Gaarder, who wrote this book Sophie's World, and I absolutely love that book. I got this thing when I was 12 years old as a gift from my dad, and I just read this countless times. And Knox, or Alberto Knox, was like the philosophy teacher of Sophie in this novel, and it was just kind of very natural for me just to came up with this name. And I also want to mention the messenger particles. So you see like these moving light particles in all of my three pieces. And I was referring actually to the force carriers in quantum physics. So these basically are exchange particles that mediate interaction between particles, basically, and like photons and gravitons and everything. And so basically these particles kind of, tie the word together kind of. So this is kind of like the connecting element in all of my pieces. So if you wonder about that. So as I mentioned before, the key idea of that co-op piece was basically referring to the idea that that we're humans are all made of the same elements, elements that have been created in star explosions. I wanted to refer to this idea that we are all actually more similar than we are different. And referring to the idea of oneness, actually, that everything is connected. So, yeah. Espresso, do you want to add something?
Yeah, so I just love the story and the depth and how good you are at building this narrative and making this collection that everything ties together and there is so many layers of meaning. So I'm very, very impressed by that, and very humbled to be a part of this latest piece, and contributing stars, and also as I also mentioned on Twitter after the drop, like we collaborated on the animations and the kind of the placement and stuff, and at some point I almost broke some of the layers in Procreate, and you were very kind with me taking me through how to use Fresco, which doesn't have the same limitations when it comes to layers as Procreate, and we have this kind of shared project in Fresco, and it worked great, and it's been a blast, and I'm very happy to take part in this and contribute 17 stars. Well, that was the number, right?
Yes. And it was the fun story is this. So we've been thinking about the different traits, character names. And Espresso was suggesting, we can just name like the number of stars. And he just randomly said like 17. And later on, he actually counted. It was indeed 17, and I was surprised as well.
Yeah, that was fun. And we'll also be really cool to see how this collection develops. I know you have plans for the next piece already.
Yeah, the next piece will have like the idea of power universes. This is what I already have in mind to create. And I also like to add certain symbolism to my pieces that may not be so obvious. And so the stars and the rainbow and everything actually has a deeper meaning that, and I thought about this a bit, and I decided actually not to share what these elements mean to me, because I think it's actually great when the audience can decide for him or herself what this means to him or her, and to just basically gives up, like open up more.
Yeah, I think that's the fun. That's the fun in art, right? Like allowing your audience to kind of interpret it for themselves.
Exactly, and I think like if the collector wants to learn about like what this means to me, he can or she can ask me like in private, and I may or may not share this. So, and yeah, I want to give out a big shout out to Shrump. Is he here? Yeah, he's here. That he. 3 hours before the auction ended, on that he put a bid on that piece, and yeah, and I'm just really so grateful for it, for your support. And was not sure whether it was kind of strategic, because Hal actually placed a bid before, and she was kind of sleeping during that time. So yeah. And I especially also want to mention to thank Johannes, who actually started the auction, and he's he may listen to this later on when he's back from his vacation.
Yeah, that's actually a really beautiful introduction to your piece, Yun and Espresso. I think it's just so amazing to hear the different layers and thought processes behind their entire piece. Yeah, when someone looks at it, it's really up for interpretation. But I really loved how it looks so simple, but yet the moment you look into the details, how I know I tweeted about this, like how realistic the clouds look, and kind of like your own story that you form from the art, it's just so, so beautiful. So I really appreciated you guys coming together to do a collab like this, but I can imagine it being quite a feat, given the German reputation for needing perfection. And yeah, I can understand why it took from May till it's officially August now. To I do hope that there are more chances for us to collect more of your pieces.
Yeah, thank you for your kind words, Kasper. Actually, I also wanted to give a shout out to Johannes, because what I really appreciate about Johannes is just his honesty. Because if you ask him something, if you ask him whether he can give you feedback about a piece, he will really bluntly tell you whether it's bad or not. And
yes, and I think some artists have been on the receiving end of it.
I think as great as it is to support an artist with encouragement, it's but if you really want to help someone, you give feedback, and this is how to help someone how to grow and how to create better art. And I have to say, I could have always relied on Johannes' opinion, because, I mean, his dad is a traditional painter, so he kind of grew up with a sense of what is aesthetic in art, and I think he has a great taste. So I kind of always to ask him, and I'm very grateful for his honest feedback. And I think as I showed him this piece, and I was expecting him to say something bad about it. But then he said, yeah, I actually like it. And but then after a moment, he said, no, I think you should like make the colors more intense. So, yeah.
Yeah, if Johannes has no comment on your piece, that's the highest honor anybody could get for art. Yeah, so anyway, thanks so much, Yun and Espresso, for sharing that. I do have just like a personal quick question, especially when I do see a lot of collabs happening between artists in the space. Obviously, you have collab with a very good friend in the space. If an artist came along and asked you for your opinion on or tips on how to do a collab with another artist, how would you respond, Yun? Given that your experience has been May to August for collab with a good friend, what would you say to someone about tips of starting a collab with a stranger artist?
I think like collaborations is in general amazing for both artists to grow and to explore different types of style emerging to one. And I think if there's the opportunity to do collabs, I think everyone should do collabs. And I would happy to do more collabs with all the other artists. Yeah, so that's just a kind quick of opinion from mine.
Espresso?
Yeah, I agree, of course, with June in this. And it's really good to have someone to discuss with in this process and kind of go back and forth on details. And that's been one of the great things about this collab, that we've discussed changes and like pros and cons. And absolutely can recommend anyone to do more collabs. And I think also in our Discord, we have a very good community for getting feedback on work in progress in general. So artists should also utilize that.
Yeah, I was kind of more kind of fishing for info on, you know, how if you were an artist with a very strong view on some of your artistic aesthetics or artistic tendencies, I could imagine it would be a little bit complicated to work with another artist if it means kind of having to bend a little bit from your own artistic view. So I just wanted to understand if you guys had any views on that.
Well, I think in a collab, respect is really important. And kind of being aware of each other's strengths. So with that kind of as a forming a basis for the collab, then I think it works out. But of course, there's probably stories. But then kind of in a collab, people contribute different things, right? And the things they contribute, they're kind of have the last say on. Yeah, I don't know. June, any thoughts?
I think the greatest collab pieces are these where the styles of both artists or like collaborators still are kept like intact and you still see them, but still at the same time you are able to create something new. So I'm referring to that if you do a collab and it's something completely different and you don't recognize the style of both artists anymore, I would say it's a bit disappointing, because I think it would be great if because I've seen like collab pieces where I look at it and I could immediately recognize both styles, the styles of both artists, and I think these are the greatest collabs actually. And and I hope we kind of managed to achieve that as well.
No, definitely. I mean, I definitely saw your style, Yun, and obviously Espresso's stars, you can't miss it for the world. So definitely you have achieved what you set out to do. Okay, wow. Oh, we've almost come to the end of the hour. We do have two more new exciting announcements to make, but before that, do we have any other questions from the audience to Yun or Espresso regarding their masterpiece? Okay, if not, feel free to just DM them separately, of course. You know where to find them. Let's just round up the space with two very exciting announcements. I know some of you might have come in just for that, but our first announcement is in celebration of our artist friend Sylvie, who has made it as an Adobe X Meta Angels artist in residence for their their in-house program, and we're really happy for her. And in celebration of that, Sylvia has very generously offered as the grand prize one of her daily practice pieces. So I will detail this out in a tweet later on, but essentially what we're looking to do is I'm not sure if the piece that Sylvie has created for, it's here on the pinned tweet. You can see that her beautiful piece is a wonderful landscape with many people in it. And obviously, there are so many details in the piece when you look at it. For example, for myself, when I looked at the piece, I was in awe of the artistic talent behind it, obviously. But it's not just a stunning piece, right? As you look deeper into details, you see things like this angel in the tweet that's pinned that has wings that cast no shadow. And immediately I thought, wow, that's an interesting detail that she's added. So if any of you would like to join in the contest, just pick any of these interesting details, the people behind, the people involved in the art piece, come up with a backstory for them, and of course follow Sylvie and the Angel's Wing, post a picture and the backstory, and Sylvie will judge the most interesting or the best story behind some of these people, and you'll get your drop of the daily practice. Since Sylvie is here, would you like to say a few words about your induction to the Meta Angels Hall of Fame, kind of?
Sure. Thanks for the nice intro and for hosting this fun little giveaway. I'm excited to bridge the community of Meta Angels more and more into the Angels Wing. Being the Adobe Artist in Residence for the Meta Angels community was an awesome experience. I highly recommend any artists out there to apply. They actually are allowing even non-holders to apply, so don't feel like there's if that is an obstacle. So if you want to apply, you can DM me. I can give you details on how to do that. It was an amazing experience. And I think the best part of it was because I've made so many awesome connections and friends there, especially through Angel's Wing, just having friends to celebrate with and to support me along the way was huge. So thank you guys for that.
Thanks, Sylvie, for your very generous offer of this giveaway. And actually, we've come such a long way. For new listeners who didn't already know, our Angel's Wing logo was designed by Sylvie. So we have the honor of that. Not forgetting that ever. Thanks so much.
It was a collaborative project. But I forgot about that. But I was thinking when I made the figure with the angel's wings, I was like, oh, it's kind of the same shape as the angel's wing logo. So that was a kind of a nod to this community as well, as well as the other school bus. So I just put a bunch of I put a lot of different peoples and characters in there, and I can't wait to hear what stories you all come up with. For each of them.
Yeah, I think you can see from the reactions, we're all looking forward to this contest. So I'll tweet out more of the details later to capture them in a tweet, but you heard it first here on our space. So thanks again, Sylvie.
Thank you.
And last but not least is our Scales announcement. I'd like to give a shout out to Anna and Matt from the Scales NFT project. I think we've spoken about it in two or three spaces before this. It's a wonderful abstract art NFT project where an entire art piece is broken up into 20 to 25 pieces, and collectors who manage to put together an entire row or column actually get to share in the royalties. And obviously, we have created an Angel's Wing Butterfly DAO, within our own little Discord. And we're very happy to share that Anna and Matt have given us 4 allow list slots for the August drop. And this obviously doesn't come free. You have to kind of work for it. It's an art, a derivative art contest. Basically, just pair any scales, one of your favorite scales, and just go at it. Try to make something really interesting from the scales that you have. And there will be 2 allow lists specifically for Angel's Wing participants, and that will be judged by Anna and Matt. And we have 2 allow lists for non-Angel's Wing participants, and the Angel's Wing OGs will get to decide or judge who has the best derivative art. So I think that's going to be really exciting to see the kind of art that people can create. I just came up with something really simple. You can see from the pinned tweet up above. When I saw this scales piece that I had, I immediately thought of someone fishing from this kind of like a broken part of the ice. And if you could do something, I'm sure people are much more creative than me, to do something what you see in your scales NFT. You can either do a simple superimpose image or use Procreate to draw something on top of it. Just let your imagination run wild. So once again, I'll post a tweet detailing some of the requirements for the contest, but it's pretty easy actually. It's just a derivative art contest for scales. So once again, shout out to Matt and Anna from the Scales NFT project. Do check them out if you have time. So I think we have come to the end of the hour. Thanks everyone. I'm not sure if there's any last final words that Yun and Espresso you'd like to add.
No, that sounds good. Excited for these contests and yeah. Scales project, as you know, has been a big topic in our Discord lately.
I think it's really interesting how you kind of kickstarted the DAO, so really thankful for that.
It's really fun, so yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much also for your time, Hal. Congrats again for the sold out collection, and also congrats obviously to Sylvie for being inducted into the Metal Angels Artist in Residence program. And of course, congrats to Espresso and Yun for the beautiful masterpiece that they have. Thanks everyone for listening in, and have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.